Well, this morning we have a guest joining us by phone. He's up in Minneapolis, but going to come down this direction here real soon. David Kay is with us here this morning. He's going to be part of an event at the Warren Cultural Center coming up later this month on March 19th. It's part of a Roy Orbison tribute event. Sounds like a lot of fun and music that you'll know all the lyrics to. David, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
You betcha. Thanks for the time here today. I want to talk a little bit about your history. You do some work here, of course, with the band and all, doing performances, but it looks to me from some of the information I have that you've been a pretty prolific songwriter.
Yeah, I've been writing songs since I was about 11, and I'm, let's just say, old now. And decades. And playing either piano bar or, you know, solo or with a band for many years, and this Roy thing came along kind of by accident. I had a friend who was sitting in with me a few years ago who does a Merle Haggard show, and he heard me hit a high note on, I think that Hallelujah song. I hit a high note on the end. He's like, oh my God, we gotta talk. You should do Roy Orbison. He had bought a wig and glasses and a guitar because he was gonna try it. He said, I couldn't hit the high notes. Come over and take this stuff off of me. So I went over to his house and we goofed around for a while. I was just joking, singing it. And I didn't realize, you know, I mean, I've always had a high range. So we started to put together a show and it's been going well. And I loved all the classic rock legends and Roy's stuff, but I hadn't really studied and dug in. And when I started digging in, I just fell in love with the guy and all his. I always loved the Wilburys, but in between there was a pocket of stuff that I'm like, oh my God, this is a great song. I'd Google to learn some more. I'd be, oh my God, it's a great song. Unbelievable catalog of decades of music, Roy Orbison. He touched so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you talk to just an average listener, sometimes they're going to tell you things like, well, all his songs sound alike. Well, that's not true. He's got a distinctive sound, but his songs, if you take a look at the actual sheet music and things, there are a lot of variations.
He mixed it up. He was ahead of his game with these song structures and using orchestration. A lot of people used orchestration over the years, you know, big bands and everything. But he was one of the first that kind of brought it into, you know, pop rock the way he did. And he would start singing a song. And as I'd learned these, I go, why did you do that? Two measure, four measure in here, and this, you know, and mix all this. And as you'd sing it, you just have to feel it more. And you could see, and he even talked about, I just start singing, and I'd write, and I'd go the direction it took me, you know. And this beautiful stuff would come out. So it's been fun to learn them. I'd wake up in the middle of the night saying, Pretty Woman, because I'd been studying so hard. Right. The next night I'd be, I go, Roy, turn to sleep. And I've developed this relationship with Roy in my dreams. It's become part of me, and it's just so amazing. It's so fun.
Well, you know, I've talked to some other performers who do some tribute-type shows, and, you know, a lot of the, if you're doing a tribute-type show, it's obviously because the performer themselves were extremely famous and extremely successful, and they have music that we all know, which, while fun and makes for a nice audience response, it's also kind of risky because they were famous for a reason, they had a lot of success for a reason, and you're trying to do it as much justice as you can.
Yeah, when we started this, I mean, I at first was totally cognizant of exactly what you're saying, is that if I can't do this, I'm just shut it down, you know. Kind of like my friend Ben. He had the stuff. And I ended up buying my own guitar and my own better wig. And, I just ended up pretty confident I could do it after singing for a little while. Then I realized, oh, my gosh, I got to make sure I haven't missed a song, you know. I was Googling my ass off, excuse my language, for weeks, you know, trying to make sure I didn't miss anything. And then we'd be into the show for about 6 months, and I'd come across another one, and it's just an amazing catalog, and you can't do them all. I mean, we do, you know, some 20, 30 Roy songs in a show, 35 maybe. I can't remember, because now we're doing a Buddy Holly first set, Roy second set, and we don't want to leave any out. The band's like, oh, did you chop that one? I go, well, we only have this much time. So it forces me to talk less during the show. But you got to convince me, too. Roy had this amazing history. And when you're doing a tribute to somebody like Roy, if you can sing it, which, and I realize people are coming for Roy, they don't know me. And then we try to bring it. And we're proud to say we've had several really, you know, few years of doing this that really appreciative audiences, and we're so thankful and blessed, you know. So I I hit the notes and hit the phrasing, and we have amazing string players that play with us, a viola and a violin on this show that we're coming down. And the string parts are just like the record, and it just, when you're in the pocket and you hear those strings, and I lose myself in it sometimes, you know. So I actually am writing a script about it, where a tribute artist who goes crazy starts thinking he's Roy and writing all these Roy style songs. So I'm very aware that people are coming to see Roy and that I have to, you know. I looked at one thing, though, that was funny, cracked me up. I was like, okay, I got to study his stage presence while he stands there.
I know. Not much studying there. Hey, give some credit where credit's due, though, because you've got a band that's with you, and they're very talented, and I understand that you guys have been doing this for a while.
Jim Wilson, my buddy who's drumming with us, we've played together for 20, 25 years, and he's phenomenal, has a great feel, and he's just the nicest guy in the world. He's sitting right here in front of me, too. and he's just an amazing drummer. And we throw some drum solos to him. And Svetlana Davis is our viola player. And Karin Valdezan is our violin player that's coming. And those two have played together for years. So they love this. They play, you know, they teach up here and our orchestra, brilliant orchestra players, and are having a blast doing the fun, you know, different thing, doing rock and roll. And we just have gotten a system down where how we work that, and it just really pays off. And then we have a bass player, Dave Kavas from St. Cloud, who's solid bottom end there right there. And I'm talking about his bass plan. And he also is a good harmony background singer. He's a great guy. Yeah, we do as big as 9 pieces and add a cellist and another violin player and a percussionist and a background singer as well. Certain shows, bigger venues. Average is this group that's coming down. That's their average side, so we're real solid in the pocket. It's going to be really fun.
Awesome. Well, I mentioned your songwriting talents up front. You've had a chance to write for a number of different artists, and you've also had a chance to perform with a number of folks that people will recognize, too, that have had a lot of success in the music industry. How has that helped you to develop over the years?
Well, my experience, you know, was from the beginning. My dad, who passed about 4 years ago, he's a Methodist minister, and he would quote Dylan and John Lennon, to reach a young audience, he would have me sing a song at church. And so for 4 years, I've been playing some of those cover songs. And when I was able to end up meeting Joey Mulland of Badfinger, who was, you know, he's the last remaining member of the band Badfinger, who did No Matter What You Do, I Will Always Be With You. And If You Want It, Here It Is, Come and Get It. They were on the Beatles record label, the first band that they signed. And he lives in our area, and I interviewed him for a magazine that I published, and they were recording that day, and I sat and listened, and the guy was having, in the studio, was having trouble doing background harmonies. I said, hey, give me a chance. He goes, get in there. So I did some recording with him, and ended up doing a bunch of harmonies that day, just off the cuff. And having been able to submit songs to people like Ed the Winner and Spencer Davis and some total legends, that they didn't actually record them, but to get critiques and stay and make friends with people like Phil Solom of the Rembrandt, the Prince TV show theme. Phil played 5 cuts on bass on my previous album. He's from Hermantown, northern Minnesota. So, I mean, just having those people as friends, having been able to have a brush with fame, it just validates that, you know, you're doing the right thing by doing what you want to do, because these guys made it and they're just a guy like you, you know.
100%.
So in this, yeah, doing the Roy show too, we're making an album right now. We were in the studio last weekend, songs in the style of Roy Orbison that are going to be fun. So we incorporate a couple of those in this show, just to tell the story of me doing this and how it came about. So that'll be fun to share.
Well, this show coming up on Saturday, March 19th, is a 7 o'clock show at the Warren Cultural Center in Greenfield. We're happy to be part of those folks who helped to sponsor the Locals and Legends series there. And before we talk about tickets, I just want to kind of throw in, too, it's kind of nice to be performing live again. I assume, like everything else, you kind of had a little void there for the last couple of years where it was kind of sporadic, intermittent. But to get back in front of crowds again and be able to perform freely and have a good time and interact with folks, that's got to be great.
We had probably a dozen shows on the books when we canceled everything because we didn't want to, you know, risk anybody getting sick from us. And, you know, that in the beginning it was like, what is this? And, you know, we were a little, everybody was skeptical. And then when we shut it down and everybody shut everything down, we were, you know, of course, crushed but happy to do it, to be safe. And then when we started bouncing back, getting going again, it's just one of the things we say right out. We're so glad to see you. Isn't it great to get out? You know, so glad you're okay, and glad to be together again. It looks like this thing's winding down, and we'll be able to have some fun together again.
You bet. Some of those venues like the Warren Cultural Center, where you get to look people in the eyes and perform right to people instead of just lights out in the distance, too. Tickets are $25 for adults. Students in high school, younger, are free. Again, it's part of the Locals and Legends series at the Warren Cultural Center. And you can go online to get your tickets. WarrenCulturalCenter.com is where you can do that. If there are any left, you can get them at the door, too, the night of the show. Again, 7 o'clock Saturday, March 19th. Hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy that Roy Orbison tribute by David Kaye and his band coming up that evening. Well, hey, have a happy trip down here, and we hope you have a nice crowd and a good time on that Saturday.
We'll come down south for some warm weather. Can't wait to meet you all.
There you go. Very good. David Kaye, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.